You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFMLP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey, and I'm here in the studio today with City Council candidate Gwen Whistler. Gwen, thanks so much for coming in and speaking with us today.
Thank you.
We've got a wide variety of issues that are present in Asheville at this time amidst rapid growth. Tourism in Asheville can be both beneficial to the community and yet many people in Asheville are concerned that it's coming at a cost to the people who have lived here for a long time. What can local government do to improve this balance and ensure the needs and interests of Ashevillians are being met as the city develops?
Well, I have certainly seen the negative effects of tourism and hear about it a lot from people. And so we do need to address the issue. I'd sure like to see more money coming from the tourism industry into the city's coffers, because one of the effects is with all those visitors, it's a lot of stress on our infrastructure. And so it would be nice to have more funds coming in directly from the tourism industry. But while we're fighting that battle, we still have to kind of keep our eyes on the ball and figure out how we can invest more in transit so that it's easier for people to get around, and invest in affordable housing and encourage more building of affordable housing, and continue to work on wages.
What could support from tourism industry look like?
Right. Well, as you probably know, the hotel industry collects a tax, and currently, only a small portion of that is invested back into the city and the county around structures and, you know, things that are, you know, brick and mortar kind of projects. And then the rest of the money goes for marketing Asheville. And so I would like to see more of that tax dollar go back to the city. So sharing to a higher percentage in that tax, I'd like to see.
So with that kind of reframing of taxes, is that something that is able to be discussed or have action taken in city council meetings?
Oh, okay. So the tourism development tax is actually a state mandated. And so it would have to actually be originated with the state in Raleigh.
So that's unlikely to happen?
Certainly in the short term.
So what, and from a city council perspective, could be done to advocate for Ashevillians who see this industry coming in but aren't seeing any benefits, or the benefits that are seeing perhaps don't outweigh some of the issues with infrastructure?
I think city council needs to continue to put pressure on the tourism industry to recognize that some more of that funding needs to come back to the city. So I think pressure on the industry would be good.
You mentioned affordability also. What is affordability and how can the city move towards that?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I think everyone wants the city, and I certainly want the city to be affordable. And I believe that's a combination of low cost and higher wages. And so you have to work on both sides. The city, things that I have supported and continue to support is funding the Housing Trust Fund, having incentives to build affordable housing, density bonuses, things like that, that will encourage more affordable housing. And then on the wage side, the city of Asheville during my tenure voted for having all city employees make a living wage, and that makes us a role model for other employers in the region. And so I'm hoping that people will continue to follow City of Asheville's lead. And then when new employers want to come into town, I meet with them and talk about the values of our citizens, which say, look, we really, you know, we welcome you. We want new jobs in town, but they need to be good jobs and at least living wage jobs, if not really good wage jobs.
So when a new business opens in Asheville, someone from city council generally goes to meet with them, or they need to present themselves to city council?
Well, in some way? if they want some sort of incentive, then we'll meet with them.
And so an incentive for a business that could be gotten in that, what would that look like?
So the way the city's incentives work is, again, if they meet certain levels of investment in the community, like spending X amount of dollars on real estate and X amount of employees, and then we also require that all of their employees be paid at least a living wage or higher. And then there's, if they meet that criteria, plus certain kinds of businesses that we will or won't support, then they get potentially a refund of real estate taxes.
What is your plan for the future of short-term rentals in Asheville?
That's an incredibly complicated issue. But I look at this issue through the lens of neighborhood integrity and housing stock. And so I am against whole house and whole unit rental of on a short-term basis. I have been very supportive of expanding people's abilities to have homestays on a short-term basis, because I think that does, the rules surrounding that reach a good balance between being able to monetize some of your real estate, but also maintains neighborhood integrity.
What is your plan for improving transportation and accessibility for people of Asheville?
I think transit is very important to give people a productive life. It's a way for folks to get to and from work, to and from school, to and from shopping, etc. So I'm very dedicated to transit. And during my tenure, we've invested an additional $3 million in transit. And so I'm always looking for more ways to fund it and more ways to improve service, improve routes, improve timeliness. Recently, I voted for a change in the transit management company, and this contract, it requires has a lot of benchmarks in it that requires them to have certain levels of service and that kind of thing. So I think the accountability of the transit system will vastly improve.
Does that include later running buses or more frequent stops? So what does that $3 million go towards?
It goes for all that. During my tenure, we added Sunday service. We didn't have that before. Some of the routes do go later, and we've increased the number of routes and tried to make it more efficient. So that's some things that we've been spending the $3 million on. The additional $3 million, we spend quite a bit.
And so we should expect to see some continuation of that in the next the next election cycle.
You're right. I'm hoping it'll continue to improve.
What is your position on the removal of local Confederate monuments and plaques, such as we've seen the conversation around Charlottesville, New Orleans, Baltimore? Several citizens were arrested attempting to remove a plaque in front of the City Hall building earlier in the year. How does that strike you?
Well, I want Asheville to be welcoming. Not only are people being welcoming, but all of the symbols we have around the city being welcoming. And some of those Confederate monuments are obviously not very welcoming. Until local control of those monuments is available to us, what I want to do is continue to hear from citizens on what should happen with the memorials or the monuments. I've heard the gamut from take them all down to contextualize them to just let them go. So I really would like to encourage community engagement on this issue.
Would that look like a new sort of committee that is meeting on this?
We do have quite a few committees that I would like to see this issue be put on their agenda to start to talk about. The African American Heritage Commission. We've got the Historic Resources Commission. So there's several bodies that it would seem like a logical place to start that dialogue. What I was referring to is the fact that under current state law, the city of Asheville, any city or county in North Carolina is precluded from removing or defacing any monuments without state approval.
What do you think should be done with the Haywood Street property in downtown Asheville, commonly known as the Pit of Despair?
Again, this property has been talked about a lot. So I am very supportive of the community, the Haywood Street vision that was developed by a group of citizens that came up with a vision and then got a lot of community input, got a lot of public input, and 16 of the 17 members of that task force voted for the vision. And it calls for kind of lots of different options, but clearly one option that is not on the table is any large commercial use on that property. And I definitely agree with that. So, but you know, to recognize the benefit of all that community engagement, I'd like to go with the vision.
On the ballot, there will be a voter referendum asking Asheville residents if they support driving the city into electoral districts. How do you think this will impact future elections?
I want this decision to be an Asheville decision, not a Raleigh decision. So if the citizens of Asheville vote that, yes, they vote on the referendum that they want districts, then by all means, I will be supportive of that and move forward. If they don't, if they vote down the district referendum, then my optimistic side said, I hope that the Raleigh legislators will change our mind.
North Carolina is, I believe, the greatest example of gerrymandering in the country in terms of how districts have been drawn. Anticipating that, is there a possibility of legal defense from Asheville as a city?
I know we will explore that from legal aspect as to what would happen. And if the city is forced into districting, I would definitely support an independent group that will district as fairly as they possibly can. But you know, because equity is going to be a big deal with dividing the if we have to divide the city up into six districts, trying to figure out, especially where our people of color live, is going to be it's going to be a big issue. And so I hope that if we have to go to districts, then that it's done by an independent group that's as fair as they can be.
Certainly now, arguably, as many times happened, there are quite a few charged issues that are connected to this election cycle.
Right.
We very much appreciate you coming in and speaking to how you see yourself engaging in these positions.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Okay. Well, I ask people to vote for me, and if they have any questions, they can go to my website, which is Gwen Whistler, GwenWhistler.com, or they can give me a call at 828-333-1767. That's my cell phone. Thanks.
Be sure to stick around and listen to future Asheville FM updates as we speak with all of the candidates for both city council and mayor and ask these same questions. You can always check out the website, ashevillefm.org, where we will be posting these interviews that you can listen to in your leisure.